Mr. Hunter, real one. When and where were you born, Mr. Hunter?
Newbottle, Houghton Spring.
And your date of birth?
16/3/16.
What did your father do for a living?
He was a grocer. Had his own grocer shop in Newbottle.
Had he served in the First World War?
No, he hadn't, but he worked at the local power station, Philadelphia.
Did your mother work?
No. But she took in one or two lodgers from time to time. Not as a regular basis, but just when asked from local people, such as the clerk of the Houghton Council. We had the medical officer of health staying with us for a while. She was a lady from, Scottish lady. Yep.
Did you have any brothers and sisters?
One of each, yes. Brother and a sister.
And where were you in that? Were you the oldest or the youngest?
I was the eldest. Sister was the next, and the brother, who isn't here now. He died 6 years ago.
What was Newbottle like? What were the neighbours?
Newbottle was a colliery village. mostly stone houses, with a big cooperative store there, which was built after the Second World War. And it was the cooperative store that really finished my father's business. He couldn't cope with the prices of the co-op, so he had to give up the shop.
Well, what did he do? What took the place of that job?
Sorry?
What was his job? What did he do after he'd given up the shop?
He worked for an auctioneer in Houghton Spring for a number of years, and then we returned to Newbottle, and he got a job with the co-op as a grocer. And he was commended once or twice about his window dressing. He was very good at window dressing. He had served his time with a firm in Stockton of grocers. And he was very good at window dressing. He didn't just hand the cartons in, he did them properly.
Was it a comfortable upbringing that you had?
Yes, oh yes. Yeah.
Money wasn't a problem.
Well, it was really, yes, yes. We had to be careful. We couldn't, no cars then, of course, push bikes.
The people what were your neighbours like?
Well, mixed. Mixed. We had school teachers, nurse or two, and a lot of miners, which were really decent people, you know. They wouldn't do anyone any harm.
You got on well with your neighbours?
Oh, yes. Yes.
The house you lived in, can you describe it?
Yes, it's up there now, still up there. A shop with a 10-roomed house. 10-room stone-built house. A bathroom with a gas boiler for hot water. Inside toilet upstairs. Outside toilet downstairs, of course. A big warehouse and stable with a hayloft above, since demolished, of course.
It's quite substantial.
It covered quite an area, yes. You can still see part of it on the corner now. You may see it as you go out. Changes address now. Yes.
Did you What part did the church or the chapel play with you in your family life?
Church of England at Newbottle Church. I was in the choir for a few years. Mother did a lot with the Mother's Union, and we went to the whist drives that they had in church halls in those days. One or two dances father and mother went to, and
did you get involved with the Church Light Brigade or Boy Scouts?
I was in the Newbottle Scouts, yes. First of all, the Harrington Scouts. Then Newbottle formed a troop. I was in the Newbottle troop. We moved to Horton for a short while when Father was at the auctioneers. And I was in the Church Light Brigade there. And
what kind of activities did Scouts and Church Light Brigade get up to?
Well, the Scouts, we used to go to Lambton Park. That's where the Lion Centre was. Did you know that? Yes. We used to go there to camp at Easter and Whit. Father insisted if we went at Easter, that I took a board to sleep on. Not the ground sheet, as the other lads were, but I had to have a board, otherwise I couldn't go.
What was his thinking behind that? Was this to toughen you up?
He was not troubled, but he had a lot of rheumatics. And he was frightened of the damp grass. And
and the uniforms, you have to buy your own uniforms?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yes, necktie and a hat and a woggle.
Well, what about the discipline of being in those organisations? Were you able to cope with that all right?
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, you're well disciplined, yes, yes, yes.
Discipline in the home, who was the authority in the house?
Oh, it was shared, I think.
Did you have corporal punishment at home? Were you smacked? Sorry, did you misbehave? Of course. Yes, yes. And your parents would smack you if you were, did anything wrong. I'm thinking about you and your two siblings. Yes, oh yes, he was, yes, yes. What age did you start school? Five. And what was your first school?
Newbottle Infants, and I was there till I was 12 and a half. And then my sister and I went to Appledon School, which was classed at that time, I don't know where they got the name from, but it was classed as a higher top school. And we learned more at Appledon School in the 18 months we did at Newbottle.
Had you pass an exam to go there?
No, no, no. Just apply to the. I expect to be to Shire Hall. I don't remember that, but that's where we went.
What are your best memories of school?
Under a master, Mr. Moses.
What are your best memories of school?
Oh well, I never played football.
And your best subject or subjects?
Geography. Geography and history, yes.
Any teachers that you still remember as influencing your early life?
Yes, there were two teachers at Newbottle School, and they were both ex First Army soldiers. Mr. Burns and Mr. Walton. Mr. Walton was known as Nobby Walton. He was a left-hander with the stick.
The cane was quite evident in the
school. Oh, yes, yes, it wasn't far away. Mr. Jeffrey was the schoolmaster first. He retired after about 2 years I was there, and then Mr. Robinson took over. and he had a big English sheepdog called Rags, which we used to pet as we came up to school. It was always at his gate. Schoolhouse is still there.
Was there much bullying at school?
Well, one or two of the big lads used to be a bit rough from time to time, yes. But not too bad.
You said you didn't play football. What games or what leisure activities did you like and enjoy?
More for running around on a cycle. A little bit cricket, but not very much. Went to Philadelphia Cricket Club now and again, but I wasn't too keen on sport. I used to visit a farm, friendly with the farmer's son, and we used to run around the farm.
What were the games that children played in those days?
Oh, hopscotch and skippy ropes, mountie kitty. You know that one? Yes. Hurley hoops. Sledging, when the snow was here. We were often chased for sledging on the road by the local police.
There were a lot of the games played in the streets.
Played in the streets, yes. Oh, yes, yes.
And you were quite safe, obviously.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. The occasion, the bus came through perhaps about once an hour. The Northerns came first, alongside the Sunderland District Tramways, who ran through here from Easington Lane to Pentre Station. And then The blue buses were taken over from the Sunderland district, and people used to say, if you want to be through, ride in the blue. If you want to be dead, ride in the red.
your father owning a shop, obviously your neighbours and the miners dealt the business there when he bought their things there.
Yes.
Was it cash or what do you say, on tick?
That's what finished him. Too much tick. He was too generous, shall we say, with tick. Yes. You know, if someone came along, I'll pay you the weekend. Well, the weekend never came. And of course, the miners were only paid every... No, they were paid on a Saturday 1 week and a Friday the next week, which was called the Bap Week. Often they weren't to be seen then.
Because the mining industry had its problems, didn't it, during those years, early years of the
century? Oh, yes, yes. There was the 1926 strike.
Do you have memories of that strike and what was happening to you?
Only just. What I remember about that was they brought all the pit ponies out. And they had them in the fields around here, and they were to feed. And also, there was a big washing plant locally, and the sludge from the coal was dumped there, which was a huge heap. And of course, everyone went for that, and they made briquettes, as we know now, out of the stone. Sludge.
Do you remember anything like the soup kitchens in those days?
The soup kitchens were at the church hall at that time. Yes. Yes, they were. Yes. Yes. There were 7 public houses in the village. Yes. There are now only 3, I think.
Was drunkenness a problem amongst your neighbours?
Well, you got a few of the naughty lads now and again, but not very often. They didn't have too much money to spend, you know. And you got the odd one, but not too bad.
What age did you leave school?
14. I left on the Friday and started work on the Monday, the 3rd of March, 1931.
And what was your first job?
Served my time to be a joiner. Worked for the local builder. Worked between him and the local council for 3 years, and then I joined the Sun and South Shales Water Company at 17.
So if we look at that first job, was that as an apprenticeship? Was it an apprenticeship job there?
Yes.
What do you recall, what hours you worked? How you joined?
Yes, 8 till 5, and half day Saturday, 8 till 12, yeah.
And your first wage, do you recall your first wage?
First wage, yes, threepence an hour, 11 and sevenpence halfpenny for the week.
And you'd hand that money over to your mother, presumably?
Oh, yes, and got a shilling back.
How far would a shilling take you? Things are pretty cheap then.
Yes. To the local sweet shop.
And cinema, did you frequent the cinema?
Not at that age, no, not at that age.
The working conditions as an apprentice joiner, what were they like?
Well, they were very primitive on the building sites. There were no tea facility making anything. There were no toilet facilities even.
You used to hear stories of initiation for young lads starting work. Do you recall any of those? The daft things they played on you as a young man.
Used to do lots of tricks on you, yes. A bricklayer would say, he would have his mortar on the board, and he would say, "Now then, can you make the pussycat go over there?" What he wanted you to do was to dip your fingers into the mortar, and I had the prints of the cat.
On the building sites, did you work when the weather was bad?
You were laid off if it rained. The whistle went if the rain was too heavy. That'd be heavy, mind. The whistle went. You went into whatever house was available or the cabin. Waited till it fired up. The whistle went again. You were out. But that time was taken from you.
You didn't get paid for that.
Oh, no. If you lost half an hour, you lost it. Yes.
Why did you change from bricklaying to working in the water?
No, joining.
Not joinery, sorry.
Yes. Oh, joining all the time.
Oh, you're joining with the water people?
Yes, with the water company, yes. The water company had their own building department. Apart from the main lane, which was the normal thing for water companies, we had 50 houses and 12 pumping stations, which were all not in need of repair, but all occasionally had to be repaired and maintained. And I was in the building department, and they had two joiners and myself at the time, painters, bricklayers, and their mates. And between us, we maintained these stations. A lot of them are out of existence now. You may know one or two of them. Dalton on the A19 near called Hasledon. You know that one? The one quite close to that, North Dalton. Rye, which is an engines restoration. It's been restored.
Your apprenticeship would continue into your new employers in new employment as well?
Yeah, I was with them right until right the full four.
How long did an apprenticeship last in those days?
It lasted till you were 21. You were on props half time for the last half rate, I should say, for the last hour, last year, and then if you were lucky, you kept at your job, and you went on to full pay if you were lucky.
And presumably, the employers would make something out of that. If you finish your apprenticeship, they'd move you on, sack you, or whatever. So you didn't
have to pay your full wages. Was that the idea behind it? When you say if you were lucky,
it wasn't necessarily that you would get a job with the company that you'd been apprenticed to.
Someone said you stay on half pay for another year, which didn't go down too well.
So that put a pretty tight hold on you, hadn't they?
No.
What was your full wage when you started your full time employment or your full joiners?
£3.10, I think.
Was that a good wage in those days?
Well, it was one and sixpence an hour. That was just before the war. Yes, which was a reasonable wage. Bricklayers, joiners, plumbers were all paid roughly the same price, the same rate.
Was there an annual leave? Did you get a vacation, a break?
We had a week's holiday, yes. And the usual bank holidays, yes.
Did your family go away for holiday?
Not after me starting work, no.
Or you just, in effect, to have a week at home?
Is it week at home? Yes.
Now, with the 1930s or the later 1930s, do you recall what signs of war or problems with Germany that were coming along that you were hearing and reading about?
Well, you heard of these things, but you really didn't take a lot of notice of them. As I say, I work for the water company, and the general manager, his son, was a major in this battalion. So he came, shall we say, canvassing for recruits. He came around in 1938, asking for volunteers for the Royal Engineers 47th, and I joined in March 1938. 388 Battalion, Searchlight Battalion.
And this was because your boss's son persuaded you to go?
That's right, yes. Actually, from the depot that I worked at, there were two of us joined. Number 2-0-5-0-8-3-9, infantry number.
This had been the old 7th Battalion of Light Infantry, hadn't it?
That's right, yes. And the battalion was stationed in Livingstone Road, is where the new police station is now in Sunderland.
What was the process of joining? You said you joined, but what had you to do to get into the battalion?
Well, you had to go for a medical, which I thought was a strict medical at the time, to get into territorials, yes. Then we were issued with our uniform, of course.
Did you have to take some oath to the king and country?
Not that I remember, no. And there were various weekend camps.
So you went to the drill hall.
Yes.
And you had your medical. Did you have to sign any form or anything of that nature?
Oh, I would think so, yes. Yes.
The drill hall you just described, where you were, what did the drill hall look like?
Well, it was a big hall with a wooden floor, I think. And it had the officers around about the K quartermaster and whatever you had round about. And I was tied to the garages to house the vehicles, which were a guy. One was a guy, one was a Thornycroft, and one was a TSM. The TSM, that's Tilling Stevens Motors. It was petrol electric. Didn't have any gears. It was open, no cab, just a windscreen. And it was petrol electric. I don't really know how it worked, but it did. No, as I say, no gear changing, just put your foot down and away you went.
What did your family think of you joining the Territorials?
Well, I don't think they were too keen, but never mind.
But you obviously were keen.
I'd never thought of anything like that until this merger came round.
Well, you got to Drin Holland, you said they gave you a uniform. What uniform did they give you?
Not battle dress then. No. What was it?
Was the First World War?
First World War uniform, yes, with the, which I never wore, the putties.
And what, the First World War, exactly what, you know, what was the uniform? What did you actually get? What the items of clothing that you got?
A tunic with all the brass buttons and trousers, boots, and the putties, of course, and
shirt.
Well, I don't know. I don't think you got the shirt in the Territorials. I made a mistake. I'm sure you didn't. You were issued with that at the outbreak. With those things, shirts and underpants and whatever, towels and.
What about belts and packs? Did you get those?
Yes, you had your pack. Yes, the your side pack and the bigger one. What was its name?
The large one on the back.
You know? Yes. Uh-huh.
And that would be webbing equipment, was it? Or was it?
Webbing. Yeah, I still have it. Yes. Yes.
Now you mentioned that there were certain activities you have to carry out. I'm thinking in terms of your drills. How often during the week had you to go?
Twice a week, yes.
And you said there was an occasional weekend
camp? Weekend camp, yes. You went to the twice a week drill, which was just in the drill hall on the ground, shall we say, with the searchlight drill. Weekends, you went out to wherever and took the sound equipment with you, sound locating equipment, and with the wagons, of course, and the generator, which was a big lister, that was to charge the searchlight.